Don't go getting serious on me now.
That's you.
Jeff Luce in for the vacationing Aaron McCarty. Micah McCarty in studio. My good friends Mike and Mark Mangum, Twin Blends Northwest Louisiana History Hunters. I've been looking forward to this. It's been too long since y'all been in.
Way too long.
Yep. Thanks for coming in this morning. My phone's on silent. I didn't hear it when you texted me an hour ago and said you're out in the parking lot. I am okay. So sorry.
That's okay. Hey.
Yep, that's okay.
We almost got arrested for loitering.
Or peeing on the side of the building.
No. That's your words.
Just to clear it up, the part of Aaron McCarty will be played by Mike and Mark Mangum this morning.
Sorry, Aaron.
You guys have a lot going on right now.
That's right.
What
we
is
do
this
it ourselves.
English-speaking
well,
thing?
We call this our crazy week. Tuesday, we were on the Best of Times radio hour, Gary Kaligas, which we pre-recorded and we'll record. It will play Saturday
in the morning at 9:05.
In the morning or Saturday?
Saturday morning at 9:05.
Mark is the smart. Ruben is his producer also.
Right. Yeah. Mark is the smart twin. Yes, Ruben was there too. That's right. And then last night, we spoke at the English Speaking Union.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Downtown.
Downtown at the Shreveport Club.
Shreveport Club.
And there were over 100 people there, and we did our presentation.
It was fantastic.
And then today we're on Kiel. And then 11 a.m. today, we're going to Asbury United Methodist on Airline Drive.
Asbury.
I thought I said that. Anyway, and we're going to speak a presentation there. And then Saturday, we're doing the Cedar Grove reunion. We're having a presentation there. VFW out on Cross Lake.
So. What is the English speaking what? What is this?
I told you he was going to ask us that.
Well,
it's very classy people. And it has to do with the... I looked it up and I totally forgot what it's about, but it's a lot of short name people. And
okay.
Really amazing people there.
Yeah.
And y'all had to turn people away.
It shows you why I don't know anything about it. Yeah. That explains a lot.
Well, that's it. My sister told us she was there. My sister and my dad was there last night, and our sister said, now, Mike and Mark, y'all have to speak English here. You can't speak slang and do all this. You got to say your INGs and stuff like that.
So. But we didn't. We just talked, and they seemed to like it. So.
And we even dressed up. We even had slacks and ties.
So is this like an appreciation of the English language? Because this sounds like something I would be very...
I think it promotes education and
proper English.
It actually started in the Washington Urie Hotel years ago on the top floor at the help me out here, Mike.
Washington Urie Hotel.
You know, the rooftop. I guess that's... Anyway, but we found out last night because they were talking a little bit about it. So it's been around for years. And I'm not exactly sure what they do, but, I mean, they're very nice people, very, very great people.
Very classy.
We had a great time. They asked questions. We talked about what we do, why we do it. We showed some then and now videos. And it was great success.
I don't know why, but they were laughing the whole time.
Yeah. I don't know if they were laughing at us or with us, but
were they laughing or were they laughing?
They were laughing.
Laughing. Yes.
Great people, though.
Well, I want to look into that.
Yeah. Yes. You need to Google it. English Speaking Union is fantastic.
English Speaking Union.
Yes.
The president of the organization is listening, and he goes, no, don't worry. Don't contact us.
Yeah. Not you. Not Mike.
Because I was born in Shreveport, but my mom was an Air Force brat born in Columbus, Ohio. So when I was growing up, like, this is a pen. It wasn't a pen. I wasn't allowed to say pen. So that's why I'm able to do voice work for stations across the country, because I don't sound like I'm from here. Yeah. So I'm saying, so I would appreciate that organization.
Yeah, it's a great organization.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I'll tell you what, we were blown away last night. What did your presentation?
Well, we start off by telling people who we are and what we do and why we do it. And then we'll show a Shreveport then and now video of downtown Shreveport, what it looks like now, and it transitions into what it used to look like, different pictures and set to music. And then we took questions and answers, and then we showed a Union Station then and now video where we filmed at Union Station. Then we blended pictures in at what it used to look like. And, man, you could just hear the oohs and the ahs and people talking about stuff that they remember. And people were coming up to us all night thanking us and telling us the memories that they had back in the day. And that's one of our favorite things to do is speaking engagement. So
I remember when the old KCS Cafe reopened not too long ago. It's since closed, unfortunately. Yes. And I, and a buddy of mine, and we were having lunch in there, and I'm going, this is like the coolest building ever. Mm-hmm. And I thought of you guys. Yeah. And I said, they've got to know about this. And sure enough, you had already done a post on it, and you'd already done the history of it, yeah. which was fascinating to me. And Union Station was right across the street.
Beautiful. Beautiful Union Station.
And it's just heartbreaking.
We met you
to
there
me.
For lunch one day.
Yeah, we did.
The first time we met.
That's why they shut it down afterwards.
Yeah. We just shut it down. Not the kind of people we want here.
Yes.
Yeah. But it's heartbreaking to me when y'all's the stuff that y'all do, I appreciate so much. But by the same token, I'm like, God, destroying our history.
It's bittersweet, and that's why we like about our videos, because it shows everybody what we've lost. Because in that Union Station video, we show going up the steps today, a video going up the steps, and you think, man, there's something going to be there at the top. It's just nothing. And then we fade in a picture of what was there and the beautiful scenery and buildings and all that and passengers and trains. And so, and that's why our goal is to stop the destruction of old buildings and stuff downtown Shreveport. So.
Have you talked to Ernie Robertson lately?
Not lately.
I haven't either. I've reached out, and I know he's still doing his antique shop. And I stopped by and saw him one day, but it was a while back. So I don't know that he's driving much anymore.
Really?
Because I want to get him back in.
Yeah.
He's a wealth of information.
Yes.
Wealth of history.
Yes.
Such a neat guy. Yeah, my mom was actually his eighth grade teacher.
Really?
Yeah, when he was in eighth grade,
Gosh. So. He's the former registrar of voters. If people go, I know that name, but if they've listened to this show, they know who Ernie
great
is.
Great historian here. So,
guys, hang with us. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back. Mike and Mark Mangum, Twin Blends Northwest Louisiana History Hunters. Mike and McCarty with Jeff Luce in for Aaron, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel.
Back with McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
Aaron on vacation, Jeff Luce in for Aaron, Mike and Mark Mangum, Twin Blends, Northwest Louisiana History Hunters. I'm kind of surprised you guys didn't already have a website. You're on Facebook and been on Facebook for years, even before you changed the name.
Yes.
But now you have an official website.
Right.
For the people that don't do Facebook, which is going to be me after I'm not on the air anymore, by the way.
Yes.
I'm only on social media because this job requires it.
Yes.
Well, so I'm glad you've got an official. Tell us about the website.
Well, the reason we hadn't had one before, because it costs a little money to have one. And so, but anyway, people have been telling us, well, I don't do social media. How can I find y'all's work? And so we've been talking about getting a website and creating a website so people can go to it. And we got with Basic Matrix. We had a friend refer to that. Stephen Kennedy with Snakesuary, he recommended Basic Matrix. He recommended a couple, and we called up Basic Matrix, and we got with them, got with Chris and his team.
So who did you go with?
It's called Basic Matrix.
Yeah,
did I say that too many times? Okay. I'm going to let Mike do all the talking. I just catch all this flack from Mike and Mike and Mike and Mike.
Sorry.
Anyway, but they created a great-looking website, we think, and you can go in the homepage, you go type in twinblendshistory.com, and it will take you to our website. And then from there, you can have different links to Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. But we have a lot of cool stuff. Mike, you want to talk and see?
Tell them what we have. You're doing a pretty good job.
No, you go ahead. Make fun of me.
So it's twinblendshistory.com.
Yes.
Yeah. Looks great.
Is there... Obviously, on the Facebook page, because you've been doing it for years, there's so much people can look up.
Yeah.
Is all of that transferred to the new website
We're working on it as much as we can.
We have so much, it would probably take us a couple of years if we downloaded everything on there. But
we're trying to get the basics, you know, a little bit at a time, you know.
First type it in, it pulls up on the landing page. You'll see a blend, and there's like a line down the middle. And you take the cursor and you move it left and right, and it will show you, it'll take you back and forth. It's like if the building wasn't there, and it kind of just shows you then and now. And then that there's three pictures it cycles through if you let it sit there, but you can go back and forth.
It's fantastic.
And we were very pleased.
That was Basic Matrix's idea.
Yeah.
And who did this?
Yeah. And Basic Matrix is going to love us today, I know, right? Chris.
Yeah. We're going to have one of our salespeople call him. This is very nice. And so for people that don't do Facebook, TwinBlendsHistory.com.
Yes.
Are you guys going to start doing the walking tours downtown?
Yes, we are. When it gets cooler.
Probably November, we'll let people know pretty soon what the date is. But we've had a lot of people. We made a post the other day, and we just asked the question in the middle of the post, you know, would y'all like to see another history tour on Texas Street? And everybody was commenting, yes.
Sure.
We've had other people approach us, so we're going to do that probably sometime in November. But we'll let everybody know.
I kind of scared him one. I think it must have been a Saturday morning. And my wife and I were on the motorcycle, and I had the full-faced helmet on, and they were walking downtown just by themselves. It wasn't a tour. It wasn't a group.
Right.
And I saw them, and so I pulled over towards them, and they're like, hey.
He didn't know who I was at first.
This crazy man.
Yeah. He's talking to us, and he got his helmet over like, we don't know who this is, but we played along anyway, so... Then he took his helmet off and scared
y'all were
us.
Just doing some pictures.
We were getting some pictures and all. So you'll see us downtown a lot, getting different pictures and all.
We like to stand on the corner and watch cars go by,
yeah. Wave,
girls go
manhandle.
By.
Yeah.
That's what as good as it gets for us living. Watching cars go by.
But, quite a life.
Now you're both retired now, right?
Yes, since last November. Yes. Yeah. So we're retired from our sales jobs that we had for the last 30, 40 years, but now we can do Twin Blends full-time. I say full-time, I mean as much as we want to, which is a lot.
So, right. And you have I tell you what, can you hang with us?
Sure.
Because we've got Mayor Tom Arsenault going to come on, and he's going to talk. We're going to talk about the block-by-block initiative. This is the final weekend.
Gotcha.
And going to be meeting at Broadmoor Baptist Church. We'll get all the details on that coming up just after the local news. Mike and Mark Mangum in studio. Jeff Luce in for Aaron, Mike, and McCarty. 101.7 FM, 710 KEO.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEO.
Well, this is the final weekend for the... Phase one of the Shreveport Block by Block Initiative, kicking off in Broadmoor on Saturday morning. Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault gives us the details and what's next for Block by Block. Find out right after the break. Mike and McCarty, Jeff Luce in for Aaron McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEEL.
Shreveport Mayor Tom, the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Mayor, good morning.
Good morning.
I didn't interrupt your grits, did I?
No, I had hash browns today.
Well, Mike and Mark, they ran into you at breakfast yesterday.
Yes.
And they say howdy.
They're the best.
I agree. Glad to have them in. Mayor, this is the final weekend of the Block by Block initiative. You guys are kicking off at Broadmoor Baptist Church. Tell us a little bit about this weekend.
Yeah, well, it is the last sweep of the first phase of Block by Block.
Ah.
This is a long-term, short-term deal.
Well, so that's what I thought. That was my next question, but go ahead.
Yeah, we're going to meet. Actually, I am going to be off, but the folks are going to meet at about 7:45 with the idea of an 8 o'clock start. They're going to be at Broadmoor Baptist Church. Broadmoor Baptist has this really large parking lot at the corner of Ockley and Urey.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where people are going to stage. I have been in touch with Councilman Jim Talaferro, who I think has been arranging surprises for the volunteers. And as I appreciate it from talking to him, they'll be very delicious surprises.
Oh, nice.
So I think he is really gearing up. I know there are a number of a number of groups that are planning to come. The Rotary Club of Shreveport is sending a contingent, and so I'm just very excited about finishing up. And I know that our public works and property standards people will be glad to have a Saturday off after this.
Right. Now tell us what area are you going to be going through?
A lot of the work is going to be done near Corby's Golf Course in some of that neighborhood around it. Some of that neighborhood, particularly if you go down Greg Street and those areas off of Fern Avenue or Gilbert, depending on
yes.
Where you are. A lot of that work, that's where a lot of work needs to be done. So I think that's primarily where a lot of the work is going to be done.
Down behind where the old El Chico's was?
That's exactly right.
Yes. I see. Look at that. I know exactly what you're talking about. Tom, we're talking with Mayor Tom Arsenault. Tom, what's the biggest thing that you've learned during these past several weeks?
Well, I've learned a couple of things. One, the people in the neighborhoods really want to clean up their neighborhoods and have a clean neighborhood.
Yeah.
So that has been very encouraging, the number of volunteers. And the second thing is how much work we need to do in education to teach people that litter is just a really bad thing. So it's kind of my idea is to keep your trash to yourself or put it in a receptacle. But don't just throw it out on the street. We've picked up literally tons and tons of trash, probably close to 4,000 tires. The tires are a real issue because of the recycling requirements and that kind of thing when we pick them up.
It's just surprising to me that you have to tell somebody, don't throw your crap out on the street.
Well, apparently, even when you do that, you have to tell them frequently. And for example, people are always complaining about the interstates and 31, 32. You know, we actually pick all that trash up weekly.
Weekly,
and then 2 days later, it looks the way it looks before
right.
we pick it up. It's just very, it's really frustrating to Jarvis Morgan and our public works people, but they do a terrific job.
Now, you say this has been phase one, an extended kind of phase one. What's next for the block-by-block initiative?
Well, cleaning up is one thing. Reinvestment in some of these neighborhoods is another. So we're going to have two pilot programs that we're working on currently, not ready to release details because we don't have all the surveys from the various people to find out where we need to go. But we have some selected areas, one in Moortown and one in Highland, to try and focus some resources on and get some reinvestment so that we're not just tearing things down or picking trash up, but we're actually reinvesting in those neighborhoods to bring people back, to make the neighborhoods so attractive that people want to come back to those. They're very, very convenient. It makes a lot of sense to be closer into the city of Shreveport near a lot of services. But we've got to improve those neighborhoods to make them more attractive to folks moving in.
And you mentioned the survey. You bring surveys. You have printed copies of those surveys that you bring with you. But people, it's still up on the website, isn't it?
It is. It is indeed. I believe they're out on the Sportran bus routes as well. So we'll after this weekend, we'll be able to actually compile those surveys. We'll release those survey results and use those in planning the next phase of block by block.
And how have the response been? Have you gotten a lot?
You know, I haven't had the compilation, so I don't know. I'm sure they're up over 500 by now, but I know that we were at over 300 a number of weeks ago. So, you know, the police actually go out in these neighborhoods and they put door hangers, bags with the information and the surveys in them before we ever get to the neighborhood. So it's really been a completely coordinated effort, but among police, and property standards in Purdue. Really great leadership by Marcus Edwards and the executive team of Block by Block.
Mayor, this is Jeff Luce. I just feel like this has been such an incredible program. I was looking at it, and it looks like that when you were talking about debris, that they've picked up over 2,000 tons, which is 4 million pounds of trash that has been removed from this. That's phenomenal. I mean, you have to be encouraged by that, right?
And kind of embarrassing.
Well, I'm both encouraged and discouraged. I'm
sure.
Encouraged that we had so much to pick up, but I am encouraged that we picked it up.
Yeah, that makes a huge difference in everything about our city.
It really makes a difference. One of the things that we have learned in this, Jeff, is that when we put the effort, the neighborhood responds, and they take pride in their neighborhood and realize that we really do care about every neighborhood in the city of Shreveport. That's an important thing in terms of turning our attitude around about our city.
People don't, you mentioned it a moment ago, it's so easy to overlook how important blight is in a community.
It is, Mike, and blight in the inner city eventually affects the people who live on the outskirts. So even if you live in a long way away from the center of Shreveport, the center of Shreveport affects you whether you realize it or not.
Absolutely, and I also appreciate and love the idea of you guys redoing Monk House Drive. Tell us how that's coming along.
That's great.
Where we are on that. I love that idea.
We have approved the conceptual design, which will involve green space boulevards. It's really going to reduce. It's going to reduce the lanes to one on each side, obviously.
Yeah.
But still plenty of lane widening at intersections, particularly at Hollywood and at I-20. So it really should not affect traffic back it up. It will curb cuts that are there, but we'll have it'll be tree lined with lovely new street lights, new but old looking street lights. It's going to be a lovely place. So they're now in the process of taking that concept and actually doing the survey and running, because this will be a big project, so they have to give exact specifications of what needs to be done. But we really believe that we're going to be able to turn that around. I would say early, hopefully the design will be finished before the end of the year, and we'll go out to bid early in 2026.
I was just going to say, have you been able to work with any of the businesses along that route to try to go, look, you guys really need to clean this up?
Well, obviously those are all private businesses.
I know.
We're hoping, for one thing, on some of the ones that are less than attractive, the trees and the greenery that's going to be on the either side of the roadway, along with the decorative fence, should help shield the view from some of the less desirable ones. Yeah. You know that a couple of the owners are already in renovation mode. They're encouraged that we've done three things. We moved the traffic division over there. We've opened the substation, and then we're going to redo Monk House Drive. I can't think of a better means of enhancement and encouragement to businesses to improve their own property, because we think we're improving their property value.
Absolutely.
And that alone is going to make those values of that property go up, which is going to bring in better business and make that place look better. I mean, it's just it's a win-win.
There is some nefarious activity along Monk House, and we're working with our vice squad to clean that up as well.
Mayor, thank you so much. We appreciate you jumping on with us this morning. Have a great weekend.
My pleasure. Y'all have a great weekend.
Thank you. Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault, 101.7 FM, 710 KEEL.
Back to the big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEEL.
Mike and Mark Mangum, Twin Blends, Northwest Louisiana History Hunters. Guys, thank you so much. We did get a real quick question in the last 30 seconds here. Ask the Twin Blend guys on the Shreveport Security Systems message board, do they ever do research in Bossier City?
Oh, yes. We have a lot of, go to Twin Blends, go to Facebook and type in Twin Blends Bossier City or Twin Blends Boardwalk. We have old photos of Bossier, tons of stuff for Bossier, too. So,
excellent.
Yes. Wow.
And we got a brand new website. Real quick, tell us about the brand new website. It's
history.com.
Okay. Yep. And congratulations.
Thank you.
Because not everybody is on Facebook.
Right. Yeah.
And so others will be able to enjoy you guys' hard work that you're now retired and able to focus on it. When you get out of bed before 11.
Yep.
some days, though.
Yeah, but thank you for having us, Mike.
Yeah, thank you. We enjoyed it. We miss you, Aaron.
Love
yeah.
talking to you guys.
Always a pleasure, and it's not going to be so long before we have you guys back.
That's what you
again.
Said last time.
We had to beg to be on here.
No, yeah, we did.
Like, Mike, can we come on?
I know that ain't right.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Coming, by the way, Sean Hannity right now, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel. What a 107 FM 710 Keel. Mike and McCarty, Aaron on vacation. She'll be back on Monday. Jeff Luce in for Aaron. I saw Bill Joyce posted several weeks ago. He was out of town and they were at the airport and they had called a car service of some type and it was an autonomous vehicle.
Yeah.
Came to pick him up and they entered their name, you know, their destination in this car, and he's videoed like, there's no driver. This is crazy.
I want that car so bad.
Really?
Oh, my gosh. I would love, love, love to have that.
Well, you might have the opportunity right here in Shreveport. Sportran has announced they're going to start using autonomous vehicles. Denaro Washington, Sportran director on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Good morning, sir. Hold on.
Good morning.
There we are. Good morning. Thank you.
How are you?
Great. Thanks for joining us. You just got back from Boston. Congratulations on this APTA Transform Conference in Boston, and you spoke on behalf of Sportran. Tell us about this Evolve service. Well, hold on. Your phones, we're not getting you. We're losing you here.
Good morning. Can you hear me now?
There we are. All yes, right. sir. Thank you.
I'm not sure what's happening there. Apologize about that. But it's very exciting because we received a SMART grant about 2 years ago. And as a part of that SMART grant, we've been working heavily with our union, which partnered with us on this grant because we're looking at how do we introduce autonomous vehicles in public transit. It is one of the few grants that's out there that was 100% from USDOT. For looking at introducing these vehicles into public transit. So we've been working over the last year or so on a white paper closely with our union and some external partners. We're down to the point of this phase of engagement now and actually getting service assessment and workforce readiness prepared. So hopefully in 2026, we'll have these vehicles on the road and ready to engage and test those out for USDOT.
Do you feel like that's going to be a full rollout in 2026, or will that be the trial run that you're going to be doing?
We're going to be doing a trial run. The reason it's called a trial run is because we're going to be testing several different types of vehicles. So one of the major reasons that we're doing this is we're always looking for how do we give things to Shreveport that other cities have already rolled out. One of the case studies that we had was Jacksonville Transit in Jacksonville, Florida. They actually just announced and did their major rollout back in June of this year. And so we are the second system across the country that will do this major rollout of public transit vehicles. And where we're looking at this point in time for rolling these vehicles out is within our entertainment district downtown. And also, you know, we're spending tens of millions of dollars in our medical corridor. We're about ready to break ground on that project and get under construction, and hopefully we'll be able to roll out some of these vehicles in that medical corridor as well.
That's exciting. We're the second system in the country to roll this out. Did I hear that right?
That's correct. At the scale we're looking at rolling this out, we would be the second system that would roll this out in partnership with a union, creating new jobs, creating new service for the overall for our city. So it's a great thing for us. It's exciting for our staff. You know, people ask questions, are we eliminating jobs? No, this is not eliminating jobs. This is adding additional service, coordinating more with truly creating that walkable, bikeable plan that we talk about all the time. And so that's what I engage each and every day is how do we make sure that Shreveport is on top of the curve. If we love Shreveport, then we should roll these type projects out on a federal scale.
This is so exciting.
Yes, this is exciting news, Denaro Washington, Sports Ran Director. You said you're going to be trying different types of vehicles. And I'm not familiar with autonomous vehicles as a general rule. Can you take any vehicle and turn it into an autonomous vehicle, or are they specifically designed for this purpose?
So they have several different vehicles that have already been slated. Some of them are in Toyota form vans. We're looking at a Ford Transit, similar to what we operate in our mobility section at this point in time for on demand. And then we're also looking at a full-scale, large-scale bus, which will probably be introduced more like the 27 to 28 time frame. In 26, we do feel like we will roll out a Toyota van, a Ford Transit, and possibly a driverless, completely driverless vehicle that with no steering wheel in it to test out to see how that works in our community.
No steering wheel at all, so if something goes wrong, somebody can't jump behind the wheel.
So there is a control. There are safeguards in place to make sure that these vehicles operate safely. One of the things that I will tell the public to make them feel a little bit more comfortable, each one of these vehicles will have a control operator on them. If something happens during this testing phase, there will be a person in the seat on the other vehicles that have steering wheels. And the vehicle that does not have a steering wheel, there is a safeguard and a remote control that actually controls that vehicle and makes sure it's operating in a safe format. Also, we're creating, as part of our new op center that we build at Sport Trans City, the old Sun Furniture Center, we built an operation control center. So in that operation control center, a lot of these tasks and things will be watched via camera, and we'll also be able to be functioned from that center as well.
I am loving every minute of this, Denaro. That is incredible. For this trial phase, how many vehicles are you planning on introducing?
So at this point in time, we're going to have about a $10 to $15 million grant to invest in vehicles and technology for this project. That's 100% federally funded. So it will probably be about 10 to 12 vehicles we'll be introducing in the market.
And once the program is fully implemented, what's the number of vehicles you expect?
So as we make our way through this trial program, we're going to see which vehicles work the best for us. And then we will work with the federal government probably to introduce additional vehicles, like I say, in our entertainment district first, and then in our medical corridor. And then we'll look at some first and last mile transportation opportunities throughout the city.
Well, this is exciting news. I'm so impressed. Congratulations on this grant and this program. We're looking forward to seeing these on the road.
We're looking forward to introducing them.
Denaro Washington, Sportran Director. Look, have a great weekend, and we'll stay in touch.
Sounds good. Y'all take care. Bye-bye.
You too, sir. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty, Jeff Luce in for Aaron.
Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
So you have no problem getting into a driverless car?
I would absolutely love it.
I get nervous getting on those trams at the airport that don't have anybody sitting in the front.
Yeah.
Like the subway cars.
I'm telling you, if it was available for me right now.
Yes, I'm old and stupid. Go ahead, sorry.
No, I would absolutely. I'm telling you, I literally want to get in the car, press a button, and show up somewhere.
Well, obviously, they're proven.
Yeah.
I remember the story, and this has been, it's got to have been 20 years ago, of the Middle Eastern. There were two Middle Eastern guys, and they had like this van that had cruise control. And they were traveling down the interstate, and they turned on the cruise control, thinking it would turn it into an autonomous vehicle, and got out of the seat and went back to the...
Oh, my gosh.
I'll never forget that story.
That's horrifying.
And of course, that didn't end well.
I would think
that's what I keep thinking of.
Yeah, no, I picture this not even having a front windshield. I mean, I want one that has bunk beds. I want to be able to just... It's like...
Oh, like not having a windshield, like you don't even want to see where you're going.
It doesn't matter.
Right.
Yeah, I'll just take the side view. You're right.
This is a den on wheels.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
I see my wife's car, she has a much newer car than my 2012 truck. It has that lane assist.
Yeah.
If you try to change lanes without using your turn signal, which you shouldn't do, I understand. And it'll pull you back into the... I'm like, you stupid...
Right.
But just... I hate that. I turn it off.
Oh, I love it. And the one that measures the distance between me and the car in front of me so I can put cruise control on. And then if they slow down in front of me, then my car slows down to match that.
And if I'm sitting at a red light and the car in front of me takes off, and if I don't take off, it immediately the car goes... The car approach has left.
Yes.
I don't need you telling me how to drive.
Well, see, and this solves this.
I didn't marry you. Right,
but this will allow you to not even have to drive. So this is just good stuff for
you. It doesn't solve it. I would rather do it.
Imagine.
And plus, okay, what about motion sickness? I get motion sickness, you know?
Yeah.
Unless I'm driving. What is that?
It's psychological. It's got to be control. I mean, that has to be it. I mean, you're the one who knows when the car is going to veer slightly to the left or the right or, you know, any of those things. So it's got to be about that. I don't know.
But I don't understand the psychology. Maybe if somebody does understand that, they can let me know on the Shreveport Security Systems message board.
But imagine, seriously, like if you wanted to go down to an LSU game but needed to be back in Shreveport the next morning, you could go to the game, get in your car after the game, and then plug in Shreveport. You sleep for the next 4 hours until you get home. You're well rested.
I wouldn't sleep, though. I would be white-knuckling it.
On what? There's no steering wheel.
All the way. Well, on, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Now, it's just one of those things where you'll go back in years and go, it won't even think twice about it. Right. I know that.
Right. Yeah, you got used to using a calculator at some point. So, you know, it's something.
No, I didn't.
Oh, my bad.
Never got used to that. You cut my fingers off. I couldn't figure out a tip on the lunch menu either. Caddo Parish Commission had their vote yesterday on the pickleball complex. How did it go? Grace Ann Blake, Caddo Parish Commissioner, going to be joining us in about 10 minutes. Jeff Luce in for Aaron, 1017 FM, 710keel.com.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, more exciting news for Caddo Parish, City of Shreveport. Caddo Parish Commission held their vote yesterday on the Pickleball Park Complex. We'll talk with Commissioner Grace Ann Blake right after the break. Jeff Luce in for Aaron, Mike, and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Caddo Parish Commission held their vote yesterday on the $10 million pickleball park proposal for Caddo Parish. Grace Ann Blake, Caddo Parish Commissioner, joining us on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Grace Ann, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. Good morning.
I can't help but be excited about this. I've said from the onset, I absolutely support this. I think this can be a game changer for bringing...
No pun intended. It is truly a game changer for Caddo Parish. Very exciting.
So on the proposal, first of all, tell us how yesterday went. I saw the vote was 9-3. That makes me happy. I'm glad it wasn't like a 6-5 vote.
Yeah, it was a very strong vote. When I first came on the commission, the pickleball project was the first initiative that I learned about. Had no clue where they were considering to have it located. I just remember looking at administration and saying, these are the types of quality of life projects that this community needs.
Yes.
Thank you for this. And so I was just on board day one and started learning about it, asking questions, and going to meetings. There was no contentiousness when this started. And so I think that through this process, we've done a lot of working through understanding what this parish needs. And so you saw a very strong vote. This sits on the cusp of John Atkins' district and my district on the Lash property on Ellerby Road at the Y. It's a very convenient location, easy access from the interstate. I mean, this is huge for South Shreveport that has no entity like this. And I'm just barely going to say most people cannot understand what we're going to build.
Agreed.
And if anyone knows what's happening with the park with Walter B. Jacobs, the investment into that facility is absolutely astounding and incredible. It's going to be a nationwide sought-after place to come and enjoy. And so, we're doing some really right things for Caddo Parish, and this, too, is going to be a gem. So we're going to see a lot of growth from this. This is going to be three things it's going to hit for local people to have play. It's going to be fun and wonderful, and people will be able to enjoy the park. Number two, this is going to help bring in tourism, and it's going to directly put money into this community that then is going to help with a lot of the problems people say that we have. And number three, this is going to help with jobs. I'm a service provider. I own a hair salon. I have successfully for 27 years. I've been a stylist for 34 years in this community. We need people to come to this community for the service workers of this community. And that is spread everywhere in Caddo Parish. Heck, let me just say, this is great for Bossier. This is great for the region. This is a regional project. This is huge. And that's why we saw Nungesser with such great support.
We're talking with Grace Ann Blake, Caddo Parish Commissioner. Grace Ann, we spoke with Commissioner John Atkins earlier this week, and he had some concern about whether or not we need 19 courts, if we should scale it down. Was that addressed in the meeting and the vote yesterday?
Yeah, let me talk to that. So it's going to be a competitive tournament facility, so that's the number we need. And, right now, the numbers for what the actual park is going to cost and the build, we needed to ask for the 10 mil so we could go in with the project and sit down and get real numbers. And that's just part of building a project. So the 19 is because we need that for the tournament. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a 1,000-seat stadium. And imagine a facility that we might be able to do cheer competition. Or we could have retreats for, yoga. This is going to be a facility that is going to be multifunctional. So,
now, was there any discussion, because we've gotten messages and people asking about, or is there any discussion about possible indoor courts?
So we're working with Pickleball USA and the needs for pickleball. So this is a regional competition, and there are people that love indoors and those that love outdoors. We can talk about tennis. My son was a lacrosse player. Kids really didn't like the indoor lacrosse. And so there's different wants and needs. People actually like that outdoor. And so imagine having competition in the fall, in the spring. There is going to be shade coverage, rain coverage, where there's, a overhead cover, things built up for sunshade. So this is being designed with an understanding and the needs that are for this region. So just know, I live across the street from a park, and people are out there full costumes, medieval time, doing sword work in the middle of summer when it's 100 degrees. I mean, people that love sport and love activities, they love outdoors. So, Pickleball USA knows what they're doing. And
Pickleball actually didn't Pickleball USA actually prefer outdoor?
Yes. Yes. So, I mean, imagine if you live in Montana and you want to play a tournament. Well, guess where you're going to go play a tournament at? Shreveport, Louisiana, Caddo Parish, this region of Northwest Louisiana. And people will love the weather that we have here. I just came back from New York City. It was already chilly. Came home. It's perfect for me. This is, weather that some people seek after. So, you know, I just feel like you're never going to answer every question and make everyone happy. At some point, we have to make the decisions to do what's right to grow this community. So I was in New York City walking the High Line in the open. It started sprinkling a little bit. I didn't stop walking. I stayed out and enjoyed the walk.
You
need to look at the long game, the big picture.
And I think you guys have done a great job doing that. This is Jeff Luce, by the way, Grace Hand. And
hi, Jeff.
My son plays pickleball for Baylor University, and so we end up traveling to a lot of these facilities, and we've seen incredible facilities that we've gone to. So I'm super excited about this, and I think that you guys have done a great job on educating our city on the value of this project. I mean, truthfully, the thing is that I love the fact that you're doing 19 courts, but I am just curious if there's going to be room for expansion, because I think you're going to need that at some point. I think that this is going to catch on in a way that maybe we really haven't fully grasped at this point. Your thoughts?
So my thoughts are, surely there will be room for expansion, but this project is really designed intentionally for this project to bring in revenue, to take care of the funds for these needs, and to grow this immersive park, and that it's going to bring in tourism. So that would be the job that this facility is. Just like Walter B. Jacobs, they've done the planning with the architects, which the architects are local, Northwest Regional Architects, a fantastic firm. And the plans are very well thought and very conservative in thought and understanding needs as such. And so, you know, I think we can look at the plans as now and make some adjustments for further. We might not need to build the size parking lot in the plans. We might have space to add to it if we need to, things like that.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm excited about 19 courts. I just think that it's going to bring such demand that may be underestimated even at this point. So this is going to be a great thing. Are there other facilities?
I mean, these are interesting conversations definitely to be had about this. And I think that for me, I knew nothing of pickleball except for exploded while I was a hairstylist working my butt off after COVID. And I was like, what is this pickleball? Pickleball's been around a long time.
Yes, it's been around since the 60s.
Yes, and pickleball, let me just say, something that some people are saying on social media, I've really pulled myself off of social media to stop seeing all the crazy stuff across the board, not just about pickleball, but politics. And everyone has an unusually strong voice right now that I'm not quite understanding. The pickleball hits every demographic of age, every demographic of race, every demographic of economics. And so there's so much to be said about the sport of health, fun, and growth. This is such an amazing sport. I will be playing pickleball at some point and excited to learn of the game.
Grace Ann, thank you so much. Just kudos to the commission for being forward-thinking enough to move this forward. Yeah. And this is exciting news. I think this is going to be really good.
Thank you. While we're talking about forward-thinking, tonight's the Mudbugs opening game, and I heard they were almost sold out for their tickets. So kudos to people that, you know, had
that's great. Yes. Yeah. That's
for that vision, guys. So y'all have a great, wonderful day.
Grace Ann, thanks for coming on with us. Have a great weekend. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back with more McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
I have played pickleball a couple times. We played at Quirby's one time, had a great time, loved it. And we went to South Shreveport, the park, the huge
Southern Hills.
Southern Hills, yeah. Thank you. I don't know why that eludes me. Southern Hills Tennis Complex.
Yeah.
And they've got, I don't know, 8-10 courts out there.
And they do such a great job out there. I mean, if you have not gone out and played out there, I really recommend that you do.
The facility is just wonderful.
Yeah.
The problem was it was probably, and this is a couple years ago, in August.
Oh, yeah.
Like a Saturday afternoon. And it was so hot.
And one of the things, if they, you know, for some of these complexes that we visited, they will have a few courts that are covered. They're not necessarily indoor courts.
Right,
I mean, we've been
right.
to some that have that. But just even the covering sometimes is helpful when it when
just knocking that sun off of
right.
you.
And even if there's a rain, you know, allowing the tournaments to continue
mm-hmm.
has been pretty nice.
And the way Grace Ann said they were going to have coverings.
Yes. Yeah. It sounded like
awesome.
Yeah. So this is going to be a great, great deal. And I think she really spoke well on the fact that it is a kind of a cross-generational sport. I mean, we do camp during the summer, and we at 1 week of camp, we will have 70 to 75 teams playing pickleball just during a week of camp. I mean,
wow.
it's incredible.
And these are high school kids.
These are middle school and high schoolers.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and like you say, your son at Baylor plays.
Yeah.
And that's the key. All just 70-year-olds playing shuffleboard.
Right.
You're not going to find a 15-year-old interested in shuffleboard.
Right. And the people who introduced it to camp for us were, you know, they're older than I am. And so they were the ones who brought it to us. So that's the thing that shows the cross-generational attractiveness.
Right.
So.
And I don't think it's an expensive sport to get into.
No. Usually
just
when
the paddle and...
Yeah. I mean, which obviously there are plenty of really nice paddles. Eula is the big name that they use. But, you know, literally you can get a paddle for $30. But, you know, there are some that are $500. But, you know,
Yeah. And, of course, that would be the one I like.
You're right.
I like this one. Yeah. How much is it? Yeah. Oh, thank you very much. Of course it is.
Right.
I picked the most expensive one without even knowing.
Yeah. And usually just to get a court around here, it's only like $7 to $10, and, you know, you've got a court. So it's really inexpensive to play just in general.
Well, and like I say, I don't even really play, but I'm excited about this.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be good. And again, kudos to the Caddo Parish Commission for moving this forward. And this is exciting. We'll talk with De Niro, Washington Sportran director, coming up after the news, top of the hour. They have some exciting news. Autonomous vehicles coming to Shreveport. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel. FM 710 Keel. Mike and McCarty, Aaron on vacation. She'll be back on Monday. Jeff Luce in for Aaron. I saw Bill Joyce posted several weeks ago. He was out of town and they were at the airport and they had called a car service of some type and it was an autonomous vehicle.
Yeah.
Came to pick him up and they entered their name, you know, their destination in this car, and he videoed like, there's no driver. This is crazy.
I want that car so bad.
Really?
Oh, my gosh. I would love, love, love to have that.
Well, you might have the opportunity right here in Shreveport. Sportran has announced they're going to start using autonomous vehicles. De Niro, Washington, Sportran director on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you.
How are you?
Great. Thanks for joining us. You just got back from Boston. Congratulations on this APTA Transform Conference in Boston, and you spoke on behalf of Sportran. Tell us about this Evolve service.
It's very exciting because we received a SMART grant about 2 years ago. And as a part of that SMART grant, we've been working heavily with our union, which partnered with us on this grant because we're looking at how do we introduce autonomous vehicles in public transit? It is one of the few grants that's out there that was 100% from USDOT for looking at introducing these vehicles into public transit. So we've been working over the last year or so on a white paper closely with our union and some external partners. We're down to the point of this phase of engagement now and actually getting service assessment and workforce readiness prepared. So hopefully in 2026, we'll have these vehicles on the road and ready to engage and test those out for USDOT.
Do you feel like that's going to be a full rollout in 2026, or will that be the trial run that you're going to be doing?
We're going to be doing a trial run. The reason it's called a trial run is because we're going to be testing several different types of vehicles. So one of the major reasons that we're doing this is we're always looking for how do we give things to Shreveport that other cities have already rolled out. One of the case studies that we had was Jacksonville Transit in Jacksonville, Florida. They actually just announced and did their major rollout back in June of this year. And so we are the second system across the country that will do this major rollout of public transit vehicles. And where we're looking at this point in time for rolling these vehicles out is within our entertainment district downtown. And also, you know, we're spending tens of millions of dollars in our medical corridor. We're about ready to break ground on that project and get under construction, and hopefully we'll be able to roll out some of these vehicles in that medical corridor as well.
That's exciting. We're the second system in the country to roll this out. Did I hear that right?
That's correct. At the scale we're looking at rolling this out, we would be the second system that would roll this out in partnership with a union, creating new jobs, creating new service for our city. So it's a great thing for us. It's exciting for our staff. You know, people ask questions, are we eliminating jobs? No, this is not eliminating jobs. This is adding additional service, coordinating more with truly creating that walkable, bikeable plan that we talk about all the time. And so that's what I engage each and every day is, how do we make sure that Shreveport is on top of the curve? If we love Shreveport, then we should roll these type projects out on a federal scale.
This is so exciting.
Yes, this is exciting news. Dinero Washington, Sportrand director. You said you're going to be trying different types of vehicles. And I'm not familiar with vehicles as a general rule. Can you take any vehicle and turn it into an autonomous vehicle, or are they specifically designed for this purpose?
So they have several different vehicles that have already been slated. Some of them are in Toyota form vans. We're looking at a Ford Transit. Similar to what we operate in our mobility section at this point in time for on demand. And then we're also looking at a full-scale, large-scale bus, which will probably be introduced more like the 27 to 28 time frame. In 26, we do feel like we will roll out a Toyota van, a Ford Transit, and possibly a completely driverless vehicle with no steering wheel in it to test out to see how that works in our community.
No steering wheel at all, so if something goes wrong, somebody can't jump behind the wheel.
So there is a control. There are safeguards in place to make sure that these vehicles operate safely. One of the things that I will tell the public to make them feel a little bit more comfortable, each one of these vehicles will have a control operator on them. If something happens during this testing phase, there will be a person in the seat on the other vehicles that have steering wheels. And the vehicle that does not have a steering wheel, there is a safeguard and a remote control that actually controls that vehicle and makes sure it's operating in a safe format. Also, we're creating, as part of our new op center that we build at Sportrand City, the old Sun Furniture Center, we built an operation control center. So in that operation control center, a lot of these tasks and things will be watched via camera, and we'll also be able to be functioning from that center as well.
I am loving every minute of this. That is incredible. For this trial phase, how many vehicles are you planning on introducing?
So at this point in time, we're going to have about a $10 to $15 million grant to invest in vehicles and technology for this project. That's 100% federally funded. So it will probably be about 10 to 12 vehicles we'll be introducing in the market.
And once the program is fully implemented, what's the number of vehicles you expect?
So as we make our way through this trial program, we're going to see which vehicles work the best for us. And then we will work with the poly to introduce additional vehicles, like I say, in our entertainment district first, and then in our medical corridor. And then we'll look at some first and last mile transportation opportunities throughout the city.
Well, this is exciting news. I'm so impressed. Congratulations on this grant and this program. We're looking forward to seeing these on the road.
We're looking forward to introducing them.
Dinero Washington, Sportrand director. Look, have a great weekend, and we'll stay in touch.
Sounds good. Y'all take care. Bye-bye.
You too, sir. 101.7 FM, 710 KEEL, Mike and McCarty, Jeff Luke.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEEL.
Well, I think that's cool. I think we're going to start seeing autonomous vehicles on the streets of Shreveport.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I mean, if we get to the point that everyone has them, it just feels to me like that's going to be safer. I've seen the way some people drive. I'd rather no one drive than...
Right?
Yeah.
And I can't say that I'm one of the safer ones, honestly, if I'm honest. No, I realize I'm not. But, I, you know, it, I think it's cool.
I do too.
I'm looking. I'm still at the point to where I still appreciate technology.
Oh,
I appreciate. Yes. Now, granted, I come from the phone on the wall with the
right
12-foot extension cord that you had to go and hide in the pantry, take the headset and then go sit in the pantry and talk to your girlfriend because the phone was in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And so the fact that if I wanted to right now, I could video with my daughter.
Sure.
Who's in California at the moment.
I really do. I'm with you.
I'm still amazed at that.
I love the technological advances that we have. I remember I had three DVDs before I owned a DVD player. I mean, I just wanted to see it, you know?
So. I remember being in SR Superstore.
Oh, wow.
One time, and they had the computers set up, probably a 386 computer.
Yes.
With 200 megabyte of RAM or 200 kilobyte, yeah.
Right.
And they had a screen going with it was video of dinosaurs.
Yeah.
And it, obviously animated.
Sure.
And it was a DVD-ROM.
Yes.
Or right. Something. It was the most fascinating thing ever.
I couldn't believe it.
And I still remember that.
Yeah. Oh, years ago, my sister bought me my first computer, and it was an 8088, if anybody knows what that is. And I'll never forget the salesman holding a 5 1/4-inch disc in front of me. You know, it holds 256K. And he was telling me about the hard drive. He said, man, this hard drive, it is 20 megs. He said, that is like 60 of these floppy disks. You'll never need more space. And I'm like, I know you're an idiot.
Right?
That is so untrue.
There was a comedian a few years ago that was talking about, we live in the greatest era in human history, and nobody's happy.
Yes.
Uh-huh. We live in the greatest era, and nobody's happy. He said, I was on a plane, and the pilot announced, ladies and gentlemen, we now have in-flight Wi-Fi available for our passengers.
Yes.
You're welcome to sign on with your device. And he says, the guy sitting next to me signed on, and then the Wi-Fi wasn't working.
And he was griping. Yes.
And he was throwing his phone. This is a piece of crap, this stupid wife. And the comedian was like, this guy's angry about something he didn't even know existed 30 seconds ago.
Yeah.
And he's angry about it.
The level of dissatisfaction.
Goes, are you experiencing the miracle of flight?
Right.
Yes. You're in an airplane 30,000 feet in the air and you're mad because the brand new technology is not quite ironed out yet.
Right, because you can't watch your TikTok, you know.
I don't think TikTok was even around, but I was just like, this is the greatest era and nobody's happy.
Yeah.
So I try not to take that for granted. And I bring all that up to say, I hope I never look at an autonomous vehicle and not think twice about it.
Yeah.
And think, we're living in the Jetsons, for crying out loud. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For those of us that grew up watching the Jetsons.
Yeah. Oh, that was impressive.
I just want the flying car.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
Jeff Luce in for Aaron McCarty. We spoke to Grace Ann Blake, Caddo Parish Commission. Congratulations. Some exciting news on the Pickleball Park. We'll hear from her in about 10 minutes. 1017 FM, 710keel.com.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
Caddo Parish Commission held their vote yesterday on the Pickleball Park complex. We spoke with Grace Ann Blake, Caddo Parish Commissioner, to find out how that vote went. It went very well. Hear from her right after the break. Jeff Luce in for Aaron McCarty. She'll be back on Monday. Mike and McCarty, 1017 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app.
Stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
Parish Commission held their vote yesterday on the $10 million pickleball park proposal for Caddo Parish. Grace Ann Blake, Caddo Parish Commissioner, joining us on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Grace Ann, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. Good morning.
I can't help but be excited about this. I've said from the onset, I absolutely support this. I think this can be a game changer for bringing...
No pun intended. It is truly a game changer for Caddo Parish. Very exciting.
So on the proposal, first of all, tell us how yesterday went. I saw the vote was 9-3. That makes me happy. I'm glad it wasn't like a 6-5 vote.
Yeah, it was a very strong vote. When I first came on the commission, the pickleball project was the first initiative that I learned about. Had no clue where they were considering to have it located. I just remember looking at administration and saying, these are the types of quality of life projects that this
Yes.
Thank you for this. And so I was just on board day one and started learning about it, asking questions and going to meetings. There was no contentiousness when this started. And so I think that through this process, we've done a lot of working through understanding what this parish needs. And so you saw a very strong vote. This sits on the cusp of John Atkins district and my district on the Lash property on Ellerby Road at mm-hmm. the Y. It's a very convenient location, easy access from the interstate. I mean, this is huge for South Shreveport that has no entity like this. And I'm just barely going to say most people know what we're going to build.
Agreed.
And if you, right. And if anyone knows what's happening with the park with Walter B. Jacobs, the investment into that facility is absolutely astounding and incredible. It's going to be a nationwide sought-after place to come and enjoy. And so, you know, we're doing some really right things for Caddo Parish. And this, too, is going to be a gem. So we're going to see a lot of growth from this. This is going to be three things it's going to hit for local people to have play. It's going to be fun and wonderful, and people will be able to enjoy the park. Number two, this is going to help bring in tourism, and it's going to directly put money into this community that then is going to help with a lot of the problems people say that we have. And number three, this is going to help with jobs. I'm a service provider. I own a hair salon. I have successfully for 27 years. And I've been a stylist for 34 years in this community. We need people to come to this community for the service workers of this community. And that is spread everywhere in Caddo Parish. Heck, let me just say, Bossier, this is great for the region. This is a regional project. This is huge. And that's why we saw Nunn Gesser with such great support.
We're talking with Grace Ann Blake, Caddo Parish Commissioner. Grace Ann, we spoke with Commissioner John Atkins earlier this week, and he had some concern about whether or not we need 19 courts, if we should scale it down. Was that addressed in the meeting in the vote yesterday?
Yeah, let me talk to that. So it's going to be a competitive tournament facility, so that's the number we need. And, you know, right now, the numbers for what the actual park is going to cost in the build, we needed to ask for the 10 mil so we could go in with the project and sit down and get real numbers. And that's just part of building a project. So the 19 is because we need that for the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have a 1,000-seat stadium. And imagine a facility that we might be able to do cheer competition. Or we could have retreats for, you know, yoga. This is going to be a facility that is going to be multifunctional. So...
Now, was there any discussion, because we've gotten messages and people asking about, or is there any discussion about possible indoor courts?
So we're working with Pickleball USA
mm-hmm.
and the needs for pickleball. So this is a regional competition, and there are people that love indoors and those that love outdoors. We can talk about tennis. My son was a lacrosse player. Kids really didn't like the indoor lacrosse. And so there's different wants and needs. People actually like that outdoor. And so imagine having competition in the fall. in the spring, there is going to be shade coverage, rain coverage, where there's, you know, a overhead cover, things built up for sunshade. So this is being designed with an understanding and the needs that are for this region. So just know, I live across the street from a park, and people are out there full costumes, medieval time, doing sword work in the middle of summer when it's 100 degrees. I mean, people that love sport and love activities, they love outdoors. So, you know, Pickleball USA knows what they're doing. And
Pickleball actually didn't Pickleball USA actually prefer outdoor?
Yes. Yes. So, I mean, imagine if you live in Montana and you want to play a tournament. Well, guess where you're going to go play a tournament? Shreveport, Louisiana, Caddo Parish, this region of Northwest Louisiana. And people will love the weather that we have here. I just came back from New York City. It was already chilly. Came home. It's perfect for me. This is, you know, weather that some people seek after. So, you know, I just feel like you're never going to answer every question and make everyone happy. At some point, we have to make the decisions to do what's right to grow this community. So I was in New York City walking the High Line in the open. It started sprinkling a little bit. I didn't stop walking. I stayed out and enjoyed the walk.
You
need to look at the long game, the big picture.
And I think you guys have done a great job doing that. This is Jeff Luce, by the way, Grace Ann. And
hi, Jeff.
My son plays pickleball for Baylor University, and so we end up traveling to a lot of these facilities, and we've seen incredible facilities that we've gone to. So I'm super excited about this, and I think that you guys have done a great job on educating our city on the value of this project. I mean, truthfully, the thing is that I love the fact that you're doing 19 courts, but I am just curious if there's going to be room for it. I think you're going to need that at some point. I think that this is going to catch on in a way that maybe we really haven't fully grasped at this point. Your thoughts?
So my thoughts are, surely there will be room for expansion, but this project is really designed intentionally for this project to bring in revenue, to take care of the funds for these needs, and to grow this immersive park, and that it's going to bring in tourism. So that would be right. The job that this facility is. Just like Walter B. Jacobs, they've done the planning with the architects, which the architects are local Northwest Regional architects, a fantastic firm, and the plans are very well thought and very conservative in thought, sure, and understanding needs as such. And so, you know, I think we can look at the plans as now and make some adjustments for further. We might not need to build the size parking lot in the plans. We might have space to add to it if we need to, things like that.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm excited about 19 courts. I just think that it's going to bring such demand that may be underestimated even at this point. So this is going to be a great thing. Are there other facilities?
I mean, these are interesting conversations definitely to be had about this. And I think that for me, I knew nothing of pickleball except for exploded while I was a hairstylist working my butt off after COVID. And I was like, what is this pickleball? Pickleball's been around a long time.
And it's been around since the 60s.
Yes, and pickleball, let me just say, something that some people are saying on social media, I've really pulled myself off of social media to stop seeing all the crazy stuff across the board, not just about pickleball, but politics, and everyone has an unusually strong voice right now that I'm not quite understanding. The pickleball hits every demographic of age, every demographic of race, every demographic of economics. And so there's so much to be said about the sport of health, fun, and growth. This is such an amazing sport. I will be playing pickleball at some point and excited to learn of the game.
Grace Ann, thank you so much. Just kudos to the commission for being forward-thinking enough to move this forward. Yeah. And this is exciting news. I think this is going to be really good.
Thank you. While we're talking about forward-thinking, tonight's the Mudbugs opening game. And I heard they were almost sold out for their tickets. So kudos to people that, you know, have
that's
that
great. Vision. Yes. That's
kudos
that's
for that vision, guys. So good. Y'all have a great, wonderful day.
Grace Ann, thanks for coming on with us. Have a great weekend. Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
of Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
All right, Ruben, I think Opossum, it's you're not really doing anything till Halloween, is that right?
October 4th. We're going to be playing the Sausage Fest, this up and coming band Sauce. They're some cool kids out of Athens, and they are the grooviest band I've ever heard, and they are fantastic. We're going to be opening for them, and Aubrey and the Meat Sweats is going to be opening for us.
Okay, October 4th. That sounds like way down the road. It's like 2 weeks, dude.
Yeah, we have two more practices.
Wow. Yeah. It's unbelievable. Big weekend plans, Jeff, in for Aaron McCarty, Jeff Luce. Thank you for coming in this whole week.
Man, thank you so much for the invitation. I have loved being here. This has been great.
This has been, it's been awesome.
I've had a good time.
The weekend plans?
Not much for us. No, my...
Going on a cruise?
I wish. I so wish. Yeah. We'll be going
on
an
October scheduled.
Yeah. my daughter gets married October 18th, and so
gosh. No.
But
no,
he's
no.
a great kid. He is a great guy. So we're very thankful to have him in our family. But yeah, it just seems like it's coming so soon.
No, she's still 3 years old with these. She had these huge eyes. I remember. Yeah. Golly.
So big changes for us. That'll be our first child to be to get married. So
have you watched Father of the Bride with Steve Martin
will
lately?
Not, and I don't listen to Butterfly Kisses or
right,
Dance with
gosh.
Cinderella. You know, none of those.
In my algorithm are some of these dad videos about the daughter.
Oh yeah,
and I just come on,
It'd be really tough if we weren't so excited about Ben is her fiance's name. You know, then this would be a lot tougher. But he is. He's a great kid. So.
Well, thank you again for coming in this week.
Thanks for the invitation.
You're a lifesaver. And Ruben, thank you for all you do.
Hey, they actually pay me. So.
I know, right?
I'm always happy to be here.
My internship ends today.
I told Jeff I've got a coupon for a free Whataburger, but you got to buy one. So, but he's welcome to that.
It works.
Have a great weekend. And we'll be back. Aaron will be back on Monday. I hope she's had a great week. Mike and McCarty, 1017 FM, 710keel.com.